Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. This is the reading of God's word. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And Father, we pray that through your word that we will meet our Lord Jesus Christ and that we will have fellowship with him. And through your word, let us see what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. And Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow and let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. O Father, be with the person who is preaching, that by your grace he will be able to preach the word, your word, correctly. And be with all of us as we hear your word. Let us understand your word. And let us believe and let us obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we begin our study of Psalms. Some of you might ask me, then why are we reading Matthew chapter 5? Well, if you read Psalm 1, it starts with blessed. The same word that you read in Matthew 5. And we need to understand what is the true blessing. And why is it when we read Old Testament and read New Testament, there's difference between God's blessings of Old Testament and God's blessings of New Testament? Or is it truly difference between them? Well, there are many things I would like to say, but because of time, I will limit my teaching to this subject of blessing. But as we go through Psalms, and whenever that particular psalm brings out the point that I would like to say, well, we'll deal with it then. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." As you all know, the Bible is about our Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says so. But we could say that it is about Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God, accomplishing heaven. Now, if you look at the whole Bible in terms of kingdom of God, you could divide the whole Bible in five sections. First, the kingdom of God is offered to Adam. But as you know, he sinned and failed to accomplish God's kingdom. Thus, the only way for the kingdom of God to be accomplished is through the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. So first, kingdom was offered to Adam. Then we see that the kingdom of God was promised to Abraham. And during the Old Testament time, that kingdom of God that was promised to Abraham was accomplished typologically in and through Israel. That's what Old Testament is all about. They accomplished kingdom of God, but earthly kingdom of God. So it was a type of the true kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. So kingdom of God was offered to Abraham. Kingdom of God is offered to Adam and promised to Abraham. And during the Old Testament, that kingdom is accomplished typologically in and through Israel. So everything about Old Testament is earthly. Kingdom was earthly. Temple was earthly. True temple is not the temple they used to have in Jerusalem. True temple is a heavenly temple. Now, in New Testament time, Jesus comes and accomplishes the kingdom of God, eternally, heavenly. However, he accomplishes it in two stages. First, in his first coming, he accomplishes it spiritually. Meaning, he did accomplish it, but it's not visible. So everything that Jesus Christ has accomplished is not visible. Do you see eternal life? Do you see heaven? Do you see the fact that you have been cleansed of Jesus' blood and now you wear his righteousness and you stand before God as a righteous in his sight? No, it's not visible because when I look at myself, I don't look righteous. I know how sinful I am. And if you follow me every single moment, you will see how sinful I am. So the righteous young Kim is not visible. But it is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, first, spiritually he accomplishes. And second, in his second coming, he consummates it visibly. And this is what the Bible is all about. The kingdom of God is first offered to Adam. Then it is promised to Abraham. And it is accomplished typologically through Moses and David. And it is accomplished eternally by our Lord Jesus Christ, but in two stages. First, spiritually in his first coming, and finally, visibly in his second coming. So there is a redemptive historical flow in the Bible. And if we ignore this flow as we read the Bible, we will definitely misunderstand the Bible. And this is the problem. The people do not see this flow, this redemptive historical flow of the Bible. So you need to understand each part of the Bible in terms of whole redemptive history. But that's not what people do. They just go to each section and they directly apply whatever is in that section. Once you do that, you're going to misunderstand the Bible. For example, blessings. When you read Psalms, blessings will be expressed in earthly way. But when you come to Matthew 5, all of a sudden, blessed are the poor. See, you will not hear that kind of stuff in the Old Testament. No blessing of God is described with the word poor. You will not find it. But then how come in the New Testament it begins with the word poor? And if you read all this, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, nothing earthly. But if you read Psalms, oh, blessings of God will be expressed in earthly things. What's going on? It's different period in redemptive history of God. Old Testament, during Old Testament, heavenly things are expressed with earthly things. So they had earthly temple, but that's not the true temple. The true temple is a heavenly one, but the earthly one is pointing to that heavenly one as a type, pointing to the real thing. Everything about Old Testament is like that. Even salvation of Old Testament is a typological, it's earthly salvation. They're saved out of Egypt. And they were moved to the promised land. Earthly salvation. But it was a type pointing to the true salvation that Jesus Christ accomplishes. So even as you learn about earthly salvation of the Old Testament, you will learn the principles of the true salvation that Jesus Christ accomplishes. But if you go to Old Testament directly and apply what you see there directly to your life, then you're going to misunderstand what the Bible is trying to tell you. And you're going to be confused. Because you go to directly to Old Testament, it says every blessing of God is described in earthly way. So you expect that God will bless you earthly. And yet He doesn't. And you're going to be so confused. I don't want this to happen to you. Because I do meet a lot of confused Christians. Old Testament, the kingdom of God was accomplished typologically, meaning it was accomplished earthly, worldly, temporarily, and partially. All the heavenly reality is expressed in earthly things, like I said. But there were types, all pointing to Jesus Christ and what He accomplishes forever, the heavenly things. See, the true blessing of God are always the eternal blessings of heaven. And I'll be repeating things over and over again because I want you to hear it over and over again. But in the Old Testament, the blessings of heaven was expressed in earthly things. And the flip side is also the same. The eternal judgment is expressed in earthly judgment. So when Israelites, they were sinning, they were kicked out of the promised land. And they were in exile. But that was judgment of God, but it was never the final eternal judgment of God. But that judgment was a type judgment pointing to the eternal judgment that God will bring to all who disobey God. So you see, they were kicked out of the promised land. But even as they were kicked out of the promised land, personally, the person who is being kicked out, it doesn't mean that he's also kicked out of heaven. Promised land was a type of heaven. So he is being kicked out is a type of judgment. But see, that person who is kicked out, like Daniel, he was kicked out. But he was still a citizen of heaven. So you have this two level of understanding. When you look at Old Testament people, you have to look at the level that they are all one as a God's people. And there's this individual level. Individual level, you are saved only by believing Jesus who is to come. But even as you're saved personally, you could play a role in being kicked out or being judged in God's redemptive history. So, all the Israelites, they crossed the Red Sea. That is a picture of salvation. Does that mean all of them who crossed the Red Sea, they all went to heaven? No. There's a redemptive historical level and there's that personal level. If you don't understand this, you're going to be very confused. Please come to me. I'm in my office, you know, except Wednesday. I'm not. That's my day off. But other than that, I'm always there. You could always call and say, I'm coming, and I'll wait for you. But this way of expressing, the earthly way of expressing the heavenly blessing is no more. In the New Testament, the heavenly blessings are expressed in the heavenly things. Thus, they are not visible. I mean, they will be visible when Jesus returns. But until then, it's not visible. So, we cannot really show. Oh, I wish I could show how rich I am in heaven. But if you ask me to show it, I say, well, you have to wait until Jesus returns. That's why the world will never trust me. What is this? You cannot even show me right now. That's true, I cannot. But if you wait, I could. But they're not willing to wait. The problem is, the Christians, they don't understand the truth. All the earthly blessings in the New Testament is common grace. All this you have to understand. What is common grace? There's a special grace and there's common grace. Common grace is God's blessing. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're a non-Christian, God will bless you. God pours out His rain on the farm, not only farm of Christians, but even non-Christians' farm. That's common grace. God blesses both Christians and non-Christians the same. Special grace is God blessing Christians, and Christians alone. Christians only. All the earthly blessings. Health. Is that common or is that Christian blessing? It's common. Because you see so many non-Christians who are so healthy. Are they healthy because what? They were good Christians? No, they don't even believe, and yet they're so healthy. It's a common grace. Wealth. Is it common or Christian? Well, I could show you so many non-Christians who are so rich. God made them rich because they were obeying God? They believe God? No. They're non-Christians. And yet, they're so rich. See, all the Old Testament earthly blessings is now common grace. It doesn't matter whether you're Christian or not. God decides to give you or he decides not to give you. Well, it seems like God gives more to non-Christians. That's what I see in the world. But if you keep saying, no, it's a Christian blessing, then what you're saying is our God is psycho. Why would he bless non-Christian more if it is Christian blessing? What kind of God is that? You make our God as some... Don't do that. Just speak the truth. Oh yes, God could make Christian rich. Or he could make them poor. But statistically, if you really want to be rich, then don't believe. Because you have better chance of being rich as a non-Christian than a Christian. Look! I don't know why they want to come to church to be rich. What is that? And a lot of times it's because they misunderstand the Bible. They look at the Old Testament and they directly apply that, what they see in the Old Testament, directly. You cannot do that. You have to apply those Old Testament passages to you through Christ. First, you have to go to Christ, then apply. All right, and I could read you many psalm passages over here, but you get my point, so because of time, let me move on. So in the Old Testament, you know, if God blesses you, then you will be healthy. But if you are sick, that's a judgment of God. It was true in the Old Testament. But no more. Go to John. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. So there was a blind man. Now, these disciples, you know, they're living in the transitional period from Old Testament to New. So they're all, you know, schooled in Old Testament way. So their thinking is Old Testament. So what do they say? They see a blind man and his disciple asks him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be blind? See, that's the only way they could think in the Old Testament way. So they see a blind man. They go, who sinned? Who sinned? Because obviously it's the judgment of God because of sin. That's why he's blind. That's the only way he could think. God says, no, it's not like that at all. Jesus said it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents. Then why? It was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. It's to bring out the glory of God that he is now blind. So brothers and sisters, do not judge according to Old Testament standard. Do not know anything according to Old Testament standard. The old has passed away and the new has come. This is why before we study Psalm, because Psalm is in the Old Testament, I want to talk about this kind of stuff so that you could understand the Psalm in a correct way. The Psalm falls in the Old Testament, the period in the redemptive history in which Jesus has not yet come. Thus, the people of God must wait for the true fulfillment. Thus, we see complaints and grumblings in this Psalm. Now, this is a very important point because when you read Psalm, they complain to God. And they grumble. They say, why, God? But when you come to New Testament, you read Paul's letters or Peter's letters. And there are many, many letters that Paul wrote. And he was suffered and he was persecuted more than anybody that we know. And yet there's not even one complaint in the New Testament. What's the difference between New Testament and the Old Testament? Well, Jesus comes. Jesus comes and he now fulfills everything. So that there is no, if you understand what Christ has accomplished, there's nothing to complain about. But if your focus is all in the earth, earthly things, oh, then you will complain. Because you don't have it. And God is not giving it to you. Oh, then you will be filled with complaints. You will be keep asking, why, God? How come? But if you understand what Christ has done and he has accomplished for you, what does Jesus holding back from you when it comes to heavenly things? He gave you all. So, what is there to complain about? And yet Christians, they complain. Or even though when they don't articulate that complaint, they have it in their heart. Because their focus is on the earth, earthly things. In Matthew 5, we see our Lord bringing his kingdom and furthering his kingdom. And he is preaching the gospel of his heavenly kingdom. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And we see the content of that gospel from Matthew 5. Through it, Jesus showed that the life that belongs to heaven is the opposite of the life that belongs to this world. Through it, he showed the reality of heaven. First, it is the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the poor in spirit, one who mourns, the gentle, the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemaker, and the one who has been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Jesus is the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the one who fulfills the law of God, the one who does not murder, the one who loves his brothers, who does not commit adultery, who loves his enemies, who gives to the poor, who truly prays and truly serves the Father and entrusts himself to the Father. That's the content of chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. Jesus shows you who he is. But through the gospel of the kingdom, He also shows the pictures of the citizens of heaven. It also shows who you are. It is already accomplished spiritually. We are the poor in spirit, the one who mourn, the gentle, the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemaker, and the one who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. We are the salt of the earth and light of the world, the one who fulfills the law of God, and one who does not murder, the one who loves his brother, who does not commit adultery, who loves his enemies, who gives to the poor, who truly prays, who truly serves the Father, who entrusts himself to the Father. It shows who you are. God is not telling you, be these things, do your best to be these things. No. He's telling you that you are these things. That's why when you go to the light of the world, God does not say, be the light of the world. So many people think that that's what the Bible says, but no, it actually says, you are the light of the world. And, you know, I said this so many times, so let's move on. In this world, who we are is hidden. The glory of heaven is hidden. The blessed man in the psalm is fully revealed in Matthew. Psalm, worldly, now opposite of the world, in heaven, heavenly. Even when visible, is never earthly. The new era has begun in Jesus Christ. The heaven has begun. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The word poor now describes the men who are blessed by God. The word poor now witnesses the blessing of God. This was not the case in the Old Testament. It is not about exaltation after the humiliation in this world. It is the exaltation in humiliation. The power in the weakness. It is not saying blessing in spite of suffering, but that suffering itself is blessing. Understand what has changed from Old Testament. Suffering was judgment in the Old Testament. But because of Jesus Christ, because he lived a life of suffering, now we want to be like him. We want to participate in his life. The suffering is actually good now. Because heaven is the opposite of this world. And that is what Christ witnessed as he lived his life here. We don't think like the world. We don't understand like the world. We don't know things according to worldly standards. We are saved out of the world. We do not belong to the world anymore. But no, just like the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, their whole purpose was to go to the promised land. But they said, no, I love when the time I used to live in Egypt. I want to go back to Egypt. When I sat down, you know, next to fire and when we're eating this or drinking that, oh, I want to go back to Egypt. And so many Christians live like that. They want to go back to the world, even though they are out of the world. They like the world. They like the standards of the world. They like what the world teaches. But you are saved out of that. You cannot go back. You don't want to go back. And you head towards heaven. That's your purpose now. In the Old Testament, being poor and suffering are, even though not always, the sign of God's judgment. No more. Death was the sign of God's judgment, but Paul says in New Testament that death is gain. Death is gain. They could never think like this in the Old Testament. You will not read any verse like that, that death is gain. It's something good. But that's what it says. Okay. Now I have to decide what to skip. Because, sorry, I don't want to do this, but... Now, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, and Jesus says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why are they blessed? Because kingdom of heaven is theirs. See, if it is Old Testament, they're blessed because they have big house or big farm or whatever. But here, in the Old New Testament, you are blessed. Why? Because heaven is yours. It doesn't say anything about what you're going to have in this world. God just said, don't worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. That's it. But you are blessed. Why? Because heaven is yours. The poor and the nobodies in the world are gathered into kingdom of God. You know, God says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 through 29, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. Oh, in the Old Testament, it was different. Who were the good Christians? Like Abraham, David. They were so powerful. They were so rich. They rule the world. And they are the Christians. But here, in the New Testament, that's not what we see. God choosing despised things, weak things, things that are not, to shame those people who think they are something in this world. That they are so wise, that they're so wise they cannot accept God. They are so powerful that they don't need God. And God chooses people like us, nobodies, to shame them. When Jesus comes back, we will be on God's side. Why are the poor in spirit, the one who are persecuted blessed people? Why are they blessed people? Because they are the ones who are participating in the glorious life of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are imitating our Lord Jesus Christ. They are becoming more and more like Him. They witness that they are the citizens of heaven. They witness that this world is not their home, that they are just passing through, that they are going to their eternal home. They witness that they are the aliens and travelers of this world. They are passing through. We are going home, brothers and sisters. We are going to heaven. And because our home is in heaven, we are sojourners in this world. Life here on earth is uncomfortable and hard for us. It just doesn't fit. So uncomfortable. When you go out in the world and talk to the worldly people, it is so uncomfortable. Because they speak the things that we do not want. It's like wearing that clothing that it doesn't fit, so small or something like that. Until we go to heaven, we're not going to feel at home, because unless it is heaven, it's not our home. How can we feel home when it's not our home? Brothers and sisters, it's okay that you don't fit in this world. That they laugh at you. That you don't make it in this world. It's okay. Oh yeah, you might suffer a little bit. But, you know, I almost lived 60 years. Man, it goes pretty fast. It does. But it's not just sufferings and you know. We also live with joy of heaven, the joy of knowing our God, the joy of salvation, the joy of the forgiveness of our sins, the joy of fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We enjoy our God and heavenly blessings that He bestowed on us. With joy we enter the narrow gate and walk the narrow way. And joy, with joy we give our other cheek when we are slapped on our right cheek. With joy we love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We live a life that belongs to heaven. This world doesn't know that life. And they don't want to know. They will not like it because they don't belong in heaven. If you are persecuted because of Christ, Christ says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. He doesn't say, if you're persecuted here, relax, you know, rejoice. I will make you rich. No, he doesn't say your reward is in heaven. Oh, that's not what I want, is it? But we're happy that it is in heaven. In heaven where nobody can take away from us. Let me end, and I'll just add next time. So please, brothers and sisters, as we study Psalms, it's part of the Old Testament, which means you need to understand in which part Psalms fall in redemptive historical flow of the Bible. That way, you will not misunderstand what God is telling you. Understand what true blessing is all about. I am richer than anybody you could name in this universe. I just cannot show you what I have. But, you know, I sometimes read in the paper, you know, who is the richest guy in the world, and I say to that guy, I have far greater things than that guy. And you will know when Jesus returns whether I'm telling you truth or not. Do I envy what he has? No. He should envy what I have. Why would we envy things that is worse than what we have? Does that make sense to you? Why would you do that? When you have far greater things, why would you envy someone with the lesser things? Why? Unless to you, heavenly things are less than the earthly things. And then, okay, that makes sense, but that's not true. You are so blessed, brothers and sisters. Even though you might not have much in this world, you are so blessed. And I say this as I see all these babies You know, I'm so happy that babies are with us as we worship God. We don't want to kick them out. I don't know why some churches, they kick the babies out to different rooms. If this is about coming to God in worship, we want them here. And if they make noise, you know, parents will do their best to calm them down, but how can they do perfectly? No. But we rather have them here with us as we worship God together. We want them next to us as we go to God. We will never kick them out. Never. We should never do that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for Jesus Christ. And we thank you for what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. We thank you. And let us truly understand how blessed we are, so that only thanksgiving will come out of our mouth. That it will be in our hearts. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.